Thank y'all. The marathon continue. Victory lap tonight, though.
Victory lap tonight.
Welcome to the One Talk Podcast with Ryan McCarthy.
The marathon continues. That's what you would say.
Today's episode is sponsored by TNC Metal Roofing. TNC Metal Roofing is a small family-owned business constantly striving to outdo competition on quality, appearance, and providing the most cost-effective roofing solutions. All aspects of metal roofing, from new roofs, re-roofs, fascia, and gutter-to-wall cladding. With many builders and private clientele, they are slowly growing to be the next big contender in North Brisbane. TNC stated they are loving the work One Talk does throughout the community and beyond, highlighting mental health is a major thing and often swept under the rug within the building industry, and they want to make it a topic. Never any project TNC will shy away from, and the mental health of their employees is always at the forefront. So check the link in this bio. You can find their website. You can find their Instagram. Please go show the love. Go show the support. Also, if you need any roofing work done, I highly recommend hitting them up. They are the best in the business on Brisbane, and I highly recommend checking them out. Welcome to the One Talk Podcast. Ben Hussein and Hayden Emerson, how are we doing, boys?
Yeah, good. Real good.
Yeah, I'm good. It's always good to be with my mate. Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you, boys. This is your first podcast together, coming on together as a guest.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. That's my first collaborative one. So
getting exclusive.
Yeah, a bit of a laugh. It'll be good.
Yeah, it'll be good. But I just want to start from the last fight that you had at NXT. Great performances from both of you. Ben Hussein with the body shot, finishing off the fight, absolutely great hit. And then Hayden Emerson really picked your shots, timed the fight well, and also just looked dominant in that whole fight. How are you feeling on the back end of the last fight at NXT?
For me, it was more of a see if my hands are okay fight. So obviously, I fought at a much heavier weight than I fought at before. If I'm being honest, I went through the motions of training camp, but not with fight intensity by any means. And I honestly thought I was just going to fight and my hand was going to blow it again. I've had bad hands since my third pro fight. And then just before I fought Mizuti, I fractured my hand on Clay Waterman's head just before the fight. So I've had two bad hands. And I've been in a bad spot, so I kind of have no faith in the hands.
Yeah.
They've done me dirty a few times. It's almost like a bad girlfriend. my hands done me dirty. So I had no faith in my hands. But, you know, we got through the fight. And the entertainment's back.
Yeah, 100% it is back. Yeah. We've seen all the hype post-fight as well.
It's been good. Nah, for sure. What about you, brother? Yeah, what do you think about your performance?
I think it was a clinic. It was tough, but we knew what we had to do when we went in there. Just take our time, pick my shots, and eventually something will come through. But he kept spinning his mouth guard out and just being one of those type of fighters to get his breath back. So we sort of had to rush it so we didn't get disqualified, and then I lose my KO ratio. So I wanted to get at least 6 rounds out with him, get ready for the fight in December, and had to get him out of there a bit earlier.
Yeah, because that's what it felt like in that whole fight. Like, as soon as you started getting a good momentum of rhythm of punches together, the mouth guard will come out and you have to reset and restart, and it was just a drag.
Oh, yeah, it's annoying. I think, 6 times you spit your mouth guard out, you'll get DQ'd or something like that?
I think it's just on the temperament of the referee. Yeah. Some refs, it comes out 3 times, 4 times the point. Some referees might let it go 3 times around. Yeah. It really depends on
the... It was close, 3 times, 4 times around that fight. Yeah. Getting annoying, but...
And because he was getting beat up, the ref was if this keeps happening, we'll just call it off. So he did the right thing.
Yeah. So I was going to say, just watching the fight, Hayden, it looked like you had a game plan, but then it looked like you also executed the game plan you set out.
The game plan was just really not to take any damage and prepare myself for this fight coming up in December and get a few rounds out, but I'm just a lot calmer than I used to be from fighting now.
Yeah.
A lot calmer, take my time, manage rounds more, so I'm excited.
He says that, but he's the only person I've seen sound cold in summer. Be calm. I don't get relax, you. Take a breath.
I don't get you.
You sound like you're shaking, brother.
I don't get you.
No, I was stirring you.
I don't get you.
But,
he's a calm operator.
Smooth operator,
yeah.
Yes, sir.
But building up to both of your fights as well, it was a bit of time off for both using the lead up to it. But you were both training together and doing a lot of work together behind the scenes in the build up to the fight. I guess, what was the camp like leading up to it? Because you both had a bit of time away.
I would say with me, there was a lot of time off, you know. Like, I definitely had time off. I had bad hands. Like I said, after I fought Colin, I probably had the whole time off. I fought Mason with the 8-week camp, lost 18 kilos, had more time off, got back. But Hayden definitely hasn't had time off. Hayden's been in the gym working. We've been, like, I'm a real close mate of his. We talk a lot. And, no, he's definitely been working. He's been busy.
Yeah, he's annoying, but he's good for my mental. Like, yeah. He keeps you...
keep on your edge.
Keeps you on edge and just... keeps your mental strong, like what needs to be done, what needs to fucking happen, and he's good for that. That's probably about it.
It's a good thing about having one of your close boys, isn't it?
Was that the question?
Yeah, close enough.
Staring you, bro.
But I think that's one of the good things about having one of your good mates, like being able to be on a path together and being able to, you know, work together and motivate each other in those times as well, especially if you've been having a bit of time away and come down. Going into retirement and come to our retirement. But what was the mindset for you come to our retirement, especially with the challenges that that you have with your hands?
Like I said, with the time off, you know, I know it wasn't a long time off, but in my head it was a long time.
Yeah.
And I felt like...
It's a nutcase.
Yeah, I was battling like what my identity is, because my identity is I'm a fighter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I was thinking, and so the fight was just see how the hands go. That's honestly the truth.
Yeah.
And then everything else is a bonus. Like you said, like, it would be, and I'm lucky enough to do the best one in the world, and I get to do it with a close mate of mine.
Yeah.
And it's like a lonely place, you know, but when you're running a little more and you're doing those things, it makes it a lot better. Eh?
Yeah. So,
it's good to have a mate out there, or like in the field as well, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's good to have fun while you do it too, eh? You can't be serious all the time.
It's only been like 2 years that we've known each other for, but
right.
Like since knowing each other, we've just been training every day together and doing all this shit.
Yeah, we do the same strength. We do the same running. We do the same training. So
yeah, when I first met him, I started out like a footy player, like absolutely shocking. It was just a real dumb, tough tradie.
Yeah,
sort of thing.
But this poor cunt was...
I was going to work.
Yeah.
Going running with him at like 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So I was getting up at 4, going running with him at 12 o'clock at night.
Poor cunt.
So 3 hours sleep.
I was concreting at the time. But no, it was... But yeah.
It was the right thing to do.
Poor cunt.
Yeah, especially going for like training and footy. Because I remember from our last podcast, you said you started professional boxing like a later age than usual.
Yeah, 2020, COVID period.
So going from footy to then training with Ben Hussein has got to be like a massive difference.
Oh, yeah. I'd say just in pro boxing is more work. Like footy, you're training 2 days a week.
Yeah, true.
Like boxing is like a full-time job pretty much. Mm. You got to take it as a full-time job.
I do want to say one thing. Yeah, I definitely am a good mate, so I've come here wearing my whole beer shirt, supporting my mate. Where's your shirt?
I don't even got one of your shirts.
Why don't you have one of my shirts?
We've got one in the studio you can wear.
You want to wear a shirt? If you had it right here, you
want
to wear a shirt.
I don't want your ugly face on that shirt.
So if you had a shirt right now, you want to wear it?
If I have one of your shirts?
Yeah, you want to wear it?
Nah, I'd wear it.
Oh, well, I'll go on for you.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah. You think I'm just excited?
You don't go
with it. I was thinking, why is he popping so big?
That's you. That's you, bro. Pop it on, bro.
You got a backup as well.
Yeah, look, he's got one too.
That's good.
Put the fucking shirt on, bro. Gonna support you, mate. Hey,
you represent.
Hey, you just can't see this, but Jack Gregory is in trouble. This bloke is shredded, eh?
Yeah, you are, bro.
He looks like what I look like when I'm dreaming.
Yeah. So. Sign up for the camera, eh?
Nah,
it's
not
really.
It's extra perfect. Large. I hope not.
You should wear it to your walk on December 6th.
Yeah, why not?
If you boys could pick each other's walkout song, what do you reckon you'd do?
Oh, if I
already picked one of his walkouts. Yeah, the Mark Henry. Somebody's gonna get it.
And he stole the ring walk off me. What song was it?
I didn't steal nothing.
Yeah, and then he for his last fight, he's supposed to walk out the hips down the aisle by Shakira.
Yeah.
And like, such a banger.
Yeah.
Last month I was in the top 0.5% of listeners.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, my DJ told me. It's a bit sad. The hips don't lie.
I think after your last walk-up, Ben, I think my Akon percentage of listeners has gone up as well. Yeah, I think it's on repeat every day. We go,
for sure.
How you feeling at the moment, Hayden, with your fight coming up on December 6th? Talk to us a bit about your preparation and your mindset going into that.
This feels like I've had a lot of camps, but this feels like the first proper camp. Like every day I'm just getting smashed in the gym. It's pretty brutal. Like I'm sore each week, but to get ready for a 10-round fight, I think that's what we got to do.
Yeah.
A lot of sparring a lot more, doing a lot more conditioning and a lot more strength work. So just getting strong for super middleweight.
Yeah.
So I got to go up a weight to fight this fella, and I just got to get a bit strong. Even though I did a few fights at light heavyweight, I was always a small light heavyweight. I walked around like 76 fighting at light heavyweight, which that's 79. So now I'm more professional, I understand. I need to be a bit bigger, put size on, and fit the super middleweight division a bit better.
Yeah, 100%. And exciting times as well for the division, but also Australian boxing. Just looking at the card, it's absolutely stacked. It's good to see you on it, brother.
Top to bottom, mate.
Yeah.
Honestly. I've been waiting a long time for a card like this, and it's come to the front door, so...
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You brought it to fruition for your hard work, man. You know, you dedicate yourself, you work hard. On good performances when you fight.
Yeah, it's been a rough year. Like, I didn't fight for like 9 months just because no one wanted to fight. So, boxing was sort of like a love hate sport for a bit there. Like, I was still training every day. Some days I was performing real good. Some days I wasn't. And since this camp, I've just fell back in love with boxing. Just because I'm improving a lot and actually putting everything you worked into at the start of the year.
Yeah,
like helps heaps.
Yeah, because I can imagine, like, both of you could probably provide me with some insight here, because, you know, I have no idea. But when, like, you don't have a fight lined up, or you're trying to find a fight, like, I guess, what does a day-to-day look like to make sure you're ready for when the call comes?
Just stay in the gym for me.
Yeah.
Like, I just got to stay ready. You have a good 3 weeks to get 8-6 round fit, and that's pretty much all I need. But he's ready all the time.
Yeah, when I'm like in, like, let's say, in shape's wrong word, when I'm healthy with two good hands or one good hand or two bad hands, if I'm in the gym, I spar year round.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always ready and up for a big fight. But I spar year round. I'm always ready to fight. That's the truth.
Mm. Yeah, he's sparring there. We could be running, and he'd be blowing out his ass, and then he'll do 10 rounds sparring just fine. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy how it works, but.
Boxing fitness.
He's very boxing fit. Very boxing fit.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, when I watch your fight, Ben, like, I get tired just watching you, like, think about the opponent, because you're so relentless, and you put so much pressure on people. But is that what your life is like outside the ring, in terms of just staying prepared, like, just relentless with the work that you do?
Yeah, I feel like it's from priors, like, maybe just being a kid, running amok, being a grub, being a sporty kid, and then, like, with the boxing, I've always dug in, always had a crack. Like, and I tell Hayden this too. I go, we literally do the best thing in the world.
Mm.
And to come here and not be explosive and not be excited and not be passionate, like, you're doing, like, a disservice. So every time I'm in the gym, I'm energetic, I'm lifeful. And then you see that come fight time.
Mm.
Like, a lot of the time, it's like they just look like they can attack from different angles and they're just suffocating. That's what it's like, you know, so...
It must be one of the best feelings in the world too, like, after a fight, when you win and you're in the ring, and then your family coming after it as well and celebrated with you. That must be special.
Yeah, no, it is special. But my favorite bit of after a win is, like, I win, I see my family, you walk around with the belts that don't really mean anything.
Yeah.
And then you're taking photos with everyone, and you're about to go out with the boys and have a couple of drinks. But that minute you get where you sit in the shower and you're washing the blood off and the sweat off, and you're just kicking back, and you're like, hey, all the pressure's done. Because a lot of the time you don't feel like you're that nervous when you're fighting, and because especially on big cards, like, you'll have a presser, and then you have your weigh-in, and then the pressure slowly builds, and then you don't realise how much you're under until you're having that cold shower, and you're just like, fuck, I'm relaxed.
Yeah.
Like, this is what relax feels like again, because a lot of the time camp's not relaxing for 8 weeks or 12 weeks. Like, it's very hard, it's very uncomfortable, especially if you're fighting me, because I'm a pest,
yeah,
and I make... the whole 8 weeks very long for you.
Yeah.
And then when you're in that shower after the fight and you got the water in your head and you're by yourself because you're around a lot of people for a lot of long period of time, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of media, and when it's dead quiet and you're by yourself, you're like, fuck, we just did that. That's the best feeling.
Yeah. Then that moment is like, get you G'd up for the next time to go do it all again?
I'm done for it. Like, tomorrow I'll check back in, but as of right now, I'm done. Like, we accomplished the goal.
So yeah.
One fight at a time, you know?
Yeah, that's all you can do. What about you, Hayden?
I don't know.
Yeah. What's the best part of it for you?
There's some times after the fight, like, because it's just so chaotic, like, after the fight, everyone wants to see her, wants to shake your hand, like, say congratulations. I think the best time is when you're just, like he said, out and back.
Yeah.
And it's just you unwrapping, getting dressed, getting changed. Mm. And you just got that 10 minutes for all yourself where you can think, like, all the hard work like, paid off.
Another thing with Hayden is, like, the best moment for him after a fight, when he's in the ring and he skulls the beer. But he doesn't always enjoy that. But he's got a new sponsor now, and they do great beers. And I think he's going to enjoy skulling his beer in the ring a lot more now.
I'll be able to say the sponsor, or?
Barber's Lager.
Oh, Barber's Lager, Brendale.
Yeah, Brendale.
Yeah, nice, bro, that's mad.
Yeah, hip-hop brewing. The barber.
I got no sponsors, so I'm just unplugging his, you know.
Shout them out.
I gotta pay for his gloves and stuff.
Who am I? I'll take it.
You can have my leftovers.
Okay, so after this
What do you mean by that? Do you want to elaborate?
After this December 6th call, you have to start your own brewing company.
I wanna do something. What would you call it? What would I call it?
Yeah. It just comes to me. I already have one. Body brewing.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say something.
Body brewing. That's good, yeah?
What was it? Body brewing?
Bolding brewing. Yeah.
It's not allowed to say that, eh?
Why not?
It's just off limits.
I had to bring my hair back. I think I was bald for like 6 months, and I was like, fuck, I've got to bring it back. They're trying to at least save me,
yeah? Yeah, I've got to find some sort of cure.
I try Jackie every week, but I don't know that's working.
Yeah. I'm going bald next year. I'm shaving it off.
I get a little good bald. You've got a strong, distinct head, you know?
Yeah.
See how it looks.
Bald looks weird, like, when you have a weak head. And it's out first when you go bald, it looks weird. Because it hasn't seen any sun.
Yeah.
Well, mine has. It's the same bit.
My problem was when I went bald, I had a big fucking dint in my head. So I looked like I had like an Xbox headset.
Yeah.
And like every time I go around, like I'll see like teenagers looking at me.
Why'd you go bald?
Just because my hair went shorter and shorter, and I got to like a 2. And then Jack, like the barber, he was like to me, we should go bald as a joke. And I laughed. I went back the next week. I was like, fuck, let's try it. If it looks shit, I'll grow it back out. Then I'm just sticking with it.
We're talking about plugging sponsors, he cuts all three of our hairs, eh?
Yeah.
And fuck, he does a great job.
Jackie's the man.
He does do a crazy job. Yeah. He's literally gone every week.
Yeah. Every Friday. Yeah.
He puts up with me so well. I'm unpredictable. It's like I'll be like on Friday, but it's between like Wednesday and Friday every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes I might cancel like 3 times. But he's a good mate.
Yeah, I go to him like once a month.
Don't lie.
Maybe once every camp.
Once every camp.
So I get real bush ranger, grow all my hair out and
fresh trim for fight night.
He goes once a quarter, eh? He's like
that's and my hair takes ages to grow. Still growing. It's not good.
What do you reckon you'll call your beer company if you have one?
Oh, I don't know. It'd have to be with something like Hold My Beer something. Like,
yeah.
It can't be Hold My Beer Lager. I just don't think. I think someone would already have it.
Why lager? Why do you keep saying lager?
Because lager's like all the brewing.
I know, but...
It could be like...
But be different. You could just call it fucking Hold My Buru, and that's it. It doesn't have to be anything else.
Yeah, no, it could be.
It doesn't have to be Hold My Buru Lager or Hold My Buru Beer or Hold My Buru Brewing.
That is a great idea.
Yeah, no, for sure. Imagine on a can. Hold my Buru in the can, like a brown shape.
Let's go get some Buru can.
It might be a thing. I reckon it'll be good at Hold My Buru. I reckon that's a good branding.
It is, actually.
For sure.
Let's make it happen. We'll create some shirts and stuff.
Don't take it.
What were we putting in?
What cruises? Do you mean by that?
Like in a beer can, but we put cruises in it.
Oh my god, that's good. That's good.
That's
good. Sorry, we're on a tangent. I ran away with it.
I forgot where we're at now, but we'll come back to the fighting scene for you, Benny. What's coming up for you? Because we've seen a lot of hype on social media, you talking about Max showing up to the gym, trying to get some hype around that fight. Doesn't seem at the moment it's happening, but
yeah,
for you, man, like...
So, like, the fighting scenes are very busy. There's a lot of people, a lot of things happening. Like, Australia's busy, it's great. We got lots of promotions, but the fight scene for me is like a safari.
Yeah.
And there's one little hedge bouncing around in the distance. So, no one really there to fight. I try to make fights happen. I'm trying to have big fights, trying to have the fights people want to see, and I'm struggling to get it. But you know one thing, you know, Max doesn't say a lot. He's the coach does, Max doesn't. But he did shake my hand and say that he'll find me first fight next year. And I reckon they're cats, and I reckon they're lying. But hey, listen, the jury's out. We'll see if they come to the table early next year.
Yeah.
I hope they do. And yeah,
let's see. That'd be great.
What are you going to say? If Curtis got wanted to fight you, were you going to fight him?
Well, I said at heavyweight. I was still put on 20 kilos to make it happen. Okay. And or I'd lose 20 kilos and fight Brock.
Yeah.
So I've given them a big range there. So,
and then light heavyweight, you had Paul El Cuso.
Yeah, on a day's notice.
How do you reckon you would have went with that?
I reckon I would have been the blanket. A big fat blanket. A
wet blanket.
Yeah, I would have just... I would have laid on him, and then we would have got it done.
Yeah, what happened with Curtis Scott? Because I saw a little thing online, but actually like something that was going to happen or no?
No, it's not. He just said, I said something to a close mate of his named Brock Jarvis, and he wasn't very happy with it, so he said he would bounce my head off the concrete, and I said, why don't we do it on TV, and then crickets. But that's all
right. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I saw that in the comments. Yeah. But
it is what it is. But Brock did hurt his shoulder, but a lot of injuries you can fight through, so... I think he pulled out of the fight because he couldn't make weight. But we're just talking about people that I want to fight, but none of them want to fight me. And I will say, like, I'm unworthy and this and that, but shit, I'm making more noise than most of them, so.
Why do you think people don't want to fight you?
It's a great question. I'm a very nice guy. Very, very polite.
Humble.
Very, extremely humble. Very good looking. Oh, no, jokes. A solid 7.5. For sure, like nine on a good day, but maybe that's why they don't find. Maybe they don't want to make me ugly. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's got to be something, honestly. But
yeah,
I can't quite put my thumb on it. Maybe it's just that, like, actually, I don't know.
I reckon it was your Cohen performance.
Well, where I was like, two bad hands and way drained. Maybe.
I reckon I'd scared a little bit more.
I hope not.
Yeah,
two bad hands and way drained. That's all right. I was fit for Colin, though. Insane weight drained. I wasn't actually weight drained, but I did have two bad hands, that's true. So. Colin's a good fighter, though.
This shows the ability to fight for an injury.
Let me say this. I respect Colin. Probably, like, on par with real fighters, which there isn't too many.
Yeah.
Like, that dude's fighting everyone, always trying to make big fights happen, always being in big fights. Like, he had Nikita hurt and out on his feet for 3 rounds straight, got caught with a shot. Like, that's boxing. He never bitches, he never moans, he works hard. And, like, I know, like, as you're a kid, you're a fighter, you think that's the bare minimum, but that's really not the bare minimum. Like, that, like, as a fighter, most fighters say they're fighters, but they don't live like they're fighters. So I big respect to Colin, and then, like, people like even Liam from my gym and Vegas and Opataya and Hold My Buddha and, like, real fighters, you know what I mean? Because there's not too many of them. Like, for example, we have people claiming they're the best in the country, but they're fighting no one. Or you have other people that are not the best in the country, but they call me bad names, but they're kind of waiting for big fights to sell out. So I'm sure you can put the pieces together who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's not too many real fighters, so yeah, big ups, Colin. Big ups, Colin.
And for like someone like myself and probably many of the other viewers too, we want to see like great Australian fights between top level fighters in Australia. You know, like Ben versus, you know, I'd love to see you fight Brock or Max, to be honest. They're probably two people I'd love to see you fight next. Even Liam, I'd love to see him maybe fight Gumbosis as another great Australian fight, but no, it just seems like it's maybe it's the politics involved. It seems pretty hard to make these fights come together or make the two teams come together.
That's very true. See, there is politics in boxing, and people will be signed with a promotion or another promotion. But the great thing about me is I'm willing to fight anywhere.
Yeah.
So we can't use it as a promotional war with me, because I tried to fight Max. I literally went to his presser, pulled up there, and then like I'll say Brock, for example, I'm willing to fight No Limit. And then, you know, one thing I'll say is like Will Tomlinson's a promoter in Melbourne, and you know, if all else fails, he's got four big names down there for me, and he's willing to put on 50-50 fights and put his boys on the line and put his promotion on the line, and I respect that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, there is politics in boxing, but for me, they're easy fights to make.
Yeah.
Like, this is what happens. I get a call, they say, will you fight Max for this? And I'll be like, well, that's unfair money, but yeah, I'll cave his head in. Yeah, vice versa. Like, it's very easy to make. But you watch the fight won't get made. That's what's going to happen. And evidently, I want it, so.
Yeah.
And they can't say, like, oh, I'm below them or I'm not worth it, because they haven't fought one fighter ranked as high as me, with the resume as me, with the skill as me. But they'll find some excuse to weasel out, because they're really good on defense. Like, defending, like, ducking and dodging fights.
Yeah.
That's what they do well. So, see what happens. Because they did run from Kira and they did run from Callum.
Yeah, Kira Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an issue.
Yeah, 100%. But, yeah, because the thing is, I've seen you tell so many names out there, but I've never seen anyone fight back again.
You know who did? Colin.
Colin, yeah.
He put up a post saying, does anyone want to? I said yes. He said yes.
Yeah.
It was that simple.
That's simple.
That's how simple it is when fighters, because fighters fight.
Yeah.
You can say, my manager won't let it happen, but at the end of the day, you get the final say.
Yeah, 100%.
He was ranked 15 in the RBF like or something, in wasn't he?
WBA. Yeah, he was world ranked at the time.
Yeah, risked it all just for a fight.
Mm.
Hey, fighters fight.
And that's what you respect that too, don't you? Well, like when someone puts on the line.
Yeah, no, I respect that. You know what's crazy? Like, I like a lot of my opponents after I beat them, but they wait me. The game's the game. The game's the game.
It could be just a pest all leading up to it.
Honestly, I wouldn't like me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder why this folks my mate.
Nah, I don't know either. Nah.
He's good.
Once you get to know Hype Beast, he's a good bloke. Like, honestly, he's a good bloke. what's your last name again?
That's crazy. Yeah.
That's I was just about to say, what's probably some of the other things that we don't see about Benny? You know, like you said, you know, once you get to know him.
Honestly, he's still the exact same person, but he's just a lot nicer to you in person. In saying that, he's about it too. Like, we'll be running the streets of Caboolture, King Street, and there'll be someone chucking stuff at us through a car, and he'll go running after them. People will be saying they got knives on the streets, and then me and him had to pull up on these like six guys or something. What were they?
Yeah,
and they went running.
They said they had a knife. Was not keen. It was on the dark rail trail.
They're like, we got
a knife, and I'm like, ah, good joke, cunt. And then we turn around. I'm like, hey, bro, I'm gonna say something. I'm like, you got me? And he's like,
I'm like, all right. Okay.
I'm like, you got a knife, yeah? Boof, they're gone. But
they legged it. Yeah. There's heaps of times running.
But I'm just.
He's definitely better.
Nah, it's just a bit of fun.
Just keep life interesting. Keep it exciting.
I'm very sporadic, like I'm the same, and I'm very impulsive. So it's the same sort of characteristics you get when I'm fighting and when I'm just being a pest.
He backs his word.
Let's say you don't like Steelers. Like, he works with Bolo and Old Boy and all that stuff. And like, there's a fair few people trying to steal and all that stuff, but they don't really get past the Hype Beast when it's at the front door waiting for them.
We'll dive into that one.
But with All Star Boxing Gym, it seems like, because I've interviewed a lot of boys from the gym, it seems like there's a really good culture mindset, but also like, it just seems like a really great place that breeds a lot of great fighters. Do you want to talk to us a bit about like All Star Boxing and also how important it is to boxing?
Just joining it, because I've only been there for, I think this is my second year coming now, it's all just very professional, very like, I don't really train with the Liam Wilson, and like, the they do like a 12:30 class because I work still. So I go to finish work and then go to boxing, and I train about 3 o'clock. But all those boys are just very professional. They're good at what they do, and they're good to look up to for all the young kids down at the gym too. They got all the superheroes like Liam Wilson and Vegas. They all love them, so it's good to see. It's good for the community.
Yeah, no, like when we talk about culture, that's something where you really got to like give Ben big praise, you know, like Harrington, not me. Don't praise me, praise Harrington. No, you got to give him like big raps because he has a lot of good fighters asked to like join the gym. And when I say good fighters, like some are bigger than the names we got there. But he values culture over anything. And that's why we have the system we have and we have the pathways we have. And like, yeah, we have the kids to look up to, but it's just in a great place too. Like, you know, boxing saves lives, it really does. And it's, mate, it's great for the community, it's great for the kids, it's great for the culture. And yeah, big raps to Benny just for keeping the culture strong, because there's just about every other gym, not every other gym, that's a bit of exaggeration, but a lot of top gyms, people fall out, ambition gets in the way, people think it's a solo sport, people don't get along. But like I said, Benny's culture first, and the culture is strong at All Stars, so it's good.
Yeah, it makes a massive difference when you have a gym like that, because in the NXT fight, Ben, when you dropped that guy with a body hit, first thing I saw Benny do was run straight over to him, make sure he's all good, got a chair, got him water. And like, that just shows a lot about someone's character doing something like that.
Yeah, great bloke.
But, you know, because like, I did see the other guy was hurt, and Benny's like, alright, let's make sure he's alright. But,
Wait, Benny, you're a great bloke, or Benny, you're a great bloke. That's it.
But, so what's the training schedule look like for you at the moment, Hayden? Come to this fight, you train once a day, twice a day?
Aim for twice. Like I do, I'll go to work and I'll go to the gym from about 3 to 5:30, so close to a 2-hour session most of the time. After that, I'll go home, eat my dinner, chill out, have a shower, and I'll either go to strength with Hype Beast or go running with Hype Beast at like 9 o'clock, 7 o'clock, in between there. And bed at 10:30 and off we go again.
Yeah, nice.
Same thing. But on the weekends, do sparring, and that's my day there.
Yeah.
And then Sunday is rest day pretty much. I might do a 5K run.
Recovery. That's about it. That's good things.
Yeah. Well, what is your recovery?
My recovery, just I go to the beach, sit in the sand, put my legs in the...
burns his head.
Yeah, burn the top of... Nah, where I had it at the beach. Oh, that's smart. Sun safety. Yeah, no one's stronger than the sun, mate.
Hey, that's good, eh? I like that. Yeah.
Can't beat the sun.
You need a fucking sponsorship from some sunscreen. That's great. That's a great
I need a hair transplant.
No one's stronger than the sun. That's good, eh? Yeah, honest, that's good, eh?
You need a banana boat sponsor.
Yeah. No, that's good, eh?
Banana boat.
How about you, Benny? What's your training schedule looking like at the moment?
My training schedule looks like the same as Hayden's, but I box earlier in the day. Yeah.
Do you start early?
Yeah, no, I box a bit like an hour or two earlier, and then half the week I train when he trains, so we do the same thing. He says we train 2 days, two times a week. We try to train 3 times a day, depending on work. But like, obviously, when I'm in a serious camp, there'll be 3 times a train. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 2 sessions a day. Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, 3 times a day, and then Saturday spa. Yeah. So 1 time.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So, and then my opinion on recovery is
what do you do?
I don't do a lot. If you don't sleep perfect and you don't eat perfect and you don't stretch and like do the fundamentals right, there's no point doing any recovery.
Yeah,
there's no ice bath, there's no chiro chamber that's going to help you. And a lot of people do that for Instagram, and because it looks cool and they get all this physio, and then they eat like shit and they sleep like shit. And I just think there's like, in terms of boxing, way better athletes today and way worse fighters. Like, we have a lot of good athletes in boxing, not a lot of good fighters, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get
like it's a different conditioning, it's a different thing. So all these people can sit in their chambers and eat their healthy meals and post on Instagram, and then one meal later be eating some Maccas. Like, none of it doesn't count just because it's on Instagram.
Yeah.
So my recovery, if I'm being honest. I try to sleep the best I can. I don't try and eat the best I can, but I do when I'm in camp. And do I stretch before sessions when I'm sore. So if you're going to catch me in like a fucking ice bath and shit, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I think a lot of people are like me. I know a lot of elite athletes and a lot of them are like me. But they'll hop in the ice chamber for Instagram.
Yeah. So, I was just doing the fundamentals, right? Sleeping, eating, stretching.
Yeah, if you don't do that, mate, you're taking the piss. Because, yeah. Like, all those things do add up if you do everything perfect.
Yeah.
Like, it's but the 1%ers add up. But the 1%ers don't add up when you're not doing the 35%ers. Yeah. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, it's like doing the ice bath and 3 hours sleep. It's like, is it really...
Yeah, what, are, worth you, it? What yeah. are you doing? Yeah, you're just more awake now.
For 30 minutes, then you drop again.
Yeah.
Have you ever done an ice bath?
Me? No, but I was hooked into doing a Cairo chamber in Sydney. I wish I knew the place, but Sanam, you know Sanam? Yeah, Sanam, fucking legend.
Yeah.
Tsunami. But he got me to do an ice chamber. It was a bit of fun. It was fucking cold there.
Yeah. I've got an ice bath at home.
It was nowhere worse than an ice bath because it wasn't that bad. Where an ice bath would be shit ass because I put my hand in the bucket of ice and I put it in my neck.
What do you think's better, a sauna or ice bath?
I prefer saunas.
Yeah.
But ice baths make me feel better. To be honest, I found the best thing for ice baths to me was more... It helped me tolerate stress a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably the main thing I got from it. All the other things, like, yeah, great, but the ability to handle stress is better after doing ice baths consistently.
Yeah. It'd be full on, eh?
Yeah.
I don't think I could do it. I can't even get it, like, the beach when it's cold.
Mine's like a proper ice bath. It's a chest freezer, and you fill it up and freeze it, and you're like, you smash that with a sledgehammer the next day.
But, why do you think it helps with stress?
Because once you jump in, my nervous system spikes and I go into fight or flight. So I implement breath work to calm down my nervous system. And then over time, you find ways for your subconscious mind just to regulate your nervous system.
So breath. Let's say hypothetically.
Yeah,
you're walking down the street.
Yeah.
I get 10 guys to pretend to jump you.
Yeah.
And then you take some deep breaths. And you feel more calm. Because it's a stressful thing every day. Would that help with nerves too?
Not that, no.
No?
No.
Yeah, I reckon.
I mean, it'll
every day you get very calm. You know what I'm saying? Like, any hard thing can replace just that one benefit in particular. But I don't ask for so.
You got a point, bro.
Yeah, no, but I know there's other health benefits, but
it's more with like little things. Probably less things where my life's probably in danger and I'm about to get my head punched. Maybe like little things like road rage and shit.
No,
like,
I know what you're saying. But then there's other ways to deal with stress, like swearing.
I've got to get you around to the ice bath, bro. I'll get you in jumping for a week.
I know I wouldn't deal with it well. I'll tell you that for free. Like,
it's definitely
I'm scared of heights.
Yeah.
And I remember one time my mate's like, Ben, jump off that rock. And I sat up there for half an hour. Finally jumped off the rock. The water wasn't that cold. When I hit the water, I was like, boys, I did it. And they're like, what? I did it. No, like, part of it, I couldn't talk.
Yeah.
And the water wasn't even that cold. It was summer. So I'm not good with the car there. But you know what I do? Maybe I do this out of spite for fake fighters just being good athletes. But I actually have really hot salt baths.
Salt baths?
Yeah.
Yeah, like magnesium salt?
Magnesium salt. Yeah, that's what I do instead. When I'm really sore. And you know what? You don't feel super great after.
Yeah.
Where you do with the ice bath. But the next day you feel great.
Yeah, body thanks you for it.
Yeah, for sure. But
What about you, Hayden? Sauna or ice?
Sauna. I couldn't do ice.
You don't even sauna. Or ice. You're lying.
I sauna more than you.
You sauna when you're losing weight.
I've never done an ice bath. But I sauna a fair
bit. I'm gonna get your boys around.
How often's a fair bit?
At least once every 2 weeks.
Alright, I'm leaving this podcast. He's lying.
No, I'm not lying.
He's lying to me.
I got one of my mates in Caboolture. He has like a little the red LED light sauna.
I know that guy.
Yeah, no, that one. That's good. That actually works pretty decent, eh?
Yeah.
Maybe for recovery, but for weight loss, it's dog shit. Like if you're losing weight for a fight, you're sitting there, you're sitting there for 10 hours.
You need one of those cold ones.
Yeah. Oh, it's just the infrared ones don't work that well for like weight loss.
No, I don't even like the infrared ones because you're sitting there for like 40 minutes and it's like so time consuming.
Yeah.
Like the cold ones, when you chuck water on splash, you can get in and out in like 15-20.
You can't beat a cold.
Yeah.
No, you can't beat one of them. They are dreadful. Anyway, I do not like sauna.
I've hijacked again.
Yeah.
My bad.
What happened?
No, we're just on the tangent.
Yeah, there's not many in Kabul. There's actually a recovery place in Cabo. I think it's called LLC.
Oh, yeah, that's that's Limitless.
Yeah, Limitless. They're
in the industrial area. Yeah, I do kickboxing training there on occasion for a laugh. Like, I just show up on the sparring days. I haven't done it in a while. Last one I went to was, what's the other one? I go to. They have Honor, the promotion.
Honor. Oh, Chaos, what used to be Chaos. Yeah, yeah. I don't know what it's called
I went there before my last hand surgery, and I had, like, a sparring day. And my mate Riley has had a few Thai fights, and we were like going hammer and tongue, and I spied everyone, and I was literally recovering from hand surgery and a swollen thigh. My thigh was like out here.
Oh, fuck.
Because I just went in there guns blazing. So it's heaps of fun, though. You don't hurt your hands because they're up a bit higher, so their head has recoil.
Yeah, right.
The boxer's knees are burnt, so
Scouse, is that the one near Cartel in Morrisville?
Yeah. Just in that little industrial area.
Oh, will we see Benny doing kickboxing soon?
No. Look at these legs, mate. I'm a fat super auto and they're still pencils. So.
Yeah. You're built different, eh? You're built weird.
I'm built like a.
No, you are fitter than last time everyone's seen you.
Definitely fitter. I'm standing in kilos. It's like, I hope I'm fitter.
Yeah. One of the things that has to be conditioned the most or wind the most in boxing is probably. Like your legs, like constant movement you got to do in the ring, especially if you're trying to go 10 rounds.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of movement.
It's been, for this camp, it's been a lot of just getting my legs real strong and getting like a sturdy base because, like, I get pushed off balance a fair bit because my legs aren't strong. So I've been doing a lot of conditioning with my legs so I can sit down better. And once you have good legs too, like strong legs, like you hit harder and your balance is just way better. So it's good to. Like, I never thought I needed it until I started doing it properly.
Yeah. I know even some boxes, like the spa on rings, have, like, extra cushion on them. Because doesn't that, like, condition your legs a lot more too? Or?
I've never sparred. I know they do that, don't they? They do, like... Mate,
the first time I was 16 years old, sparred Jeff Horn.
Yeah.
Out straight in. Their canvas is, like, this thick. Fuck. And I'm trying to bounce in it. And, like, I ran out half in. My legs are heavy.
Yeah.
I think that's why, like, did you remember when he fought Mundine having that argument about padding?
No.
Do you remember that? They were saying, oh, we want 3-inch, like, regulation padding Mundine. They're like, no, we want 6, and 6 inches of padding is, like, huge.
Huge, yeah.
To some people. But, yeah, so, and then like...
Hold my booty here.
Yeah, but then they had, and then, Monday he wanted smaller padding, and then he got knocked out, and his head hit the ground, so it was good that they had not too much padding.
Yeah. Because what is this standard? Do you know?
No idea.
No.
Likely.
No.
But, that's just, nah.
Sorry, bro.
Nah, it's alright.
You got one eye.
Yeah, just came out of nowhere. Catching
straight. I'm 3 bottles of water.
You're good.
Water every week. I can't with you, eh? But that canvas would be
ours.
Ours. What would be it? 3 inches?
I don't know. Have you measured it?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I don't know. A tradie might know. They might be able to look at it.
A tradie would know.
Yeah, you're a tradie.
I'm a bricky. I'm not a tradie.
Oh, yeah, true.
But in the moment, in the boxing world, like, what's some of the things that excite you at the moment? Is it any up-and-coming fighters? Is it anything that's happening in the boxing scene?
Well, I used to love boxing, pro boxing, which I still do, but I love, like, a certain era of pro boxing. When I was a kid, it was, like, very glorified and it was beautiful and it was, like, this really special thing.
Yeah.
But now that I'm a pro boxer and I've seen, like, the dirty side of the business and I've seen the politics and sometimes the best fighters aren't the best fighters and sometimes the well-promoted fighters... and this isn't even implying me by any means. I just mean at the world stage, you start to think it's a dirty game. And you can kind of see what's going on. And then, like, same things with all the different belts and all the issues in boxing. It's definitely not as appealing to me. The probably last fighter I like and will like for a long time is probably David Benavidez. And I like Dillian White. I don't care that he just got knocked out. He's a real one.
Yeah.
So, but do I like too many... modern day boxers, I watch them and I like their styles, but it's hard to get invested the way I was when I was a kid now that I'm more informed in what's really going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, right.
What excites you Or did I just shit on you there?
No. I think, I reckon Australia's best boxer right now is probably, like obviously Jai's number one, but Liam Parra.
Mm.
Like, I like his style, real strong.
Yeah.
Country, he's obviously lost to that Hitchens. He's a real slick boxer. I think a lot of Aussie boxers will lose to an American like that.
Yeah.
And over at America too.
Is that a, that's a hot take?
It's just, I think it's rigged over there.
But okay, judging wise. I was going to say, if we're saying a lot of Australian boxers, yeah, a lot would, but what about our top guys?
Well, you got Jai.
No, yeah, so Jai would beat a guy like
Hitchens. I think he beats people in heavyweight too.
You think Tim beats on like Hitchens, pound for pound? Maybe, maybe not. What do you reckon?
Probably not.
Okay.
I just, what do you think? No, Tim Zoo back before Liam, he lost to his first
like
fight.
That, like Higgins, pound for pound.
Liam.
Yeah.
No, probably not. No.
Okay.
I think Hitchens is really good.
I think. Yeah. No, he is. But styles are very close, and very I think sleek. We have a lot of top boxers, and I think we have a few people that.
See, I think Surreal Matias beats Hitchens.
Definitely.
And Paro beat.
I reckon he runs from like.
Just styles make fights. So.
Yeah, for sure. Styles. Yeah. That's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah. No, I like how you're. Adding more to it.
Sorry, mate.
He's not as right.
So I thought Liam Parra's performance against Suriel was a great fight. And he went to his own back garden.
Yeah.
That was won the world title.
Great game plan. Like, I like Matias Heaps. He's probably one of my favourite fighters to watch.
Honestly, but, I don't know. Even
just
know
a if great game plan.
I don't know if it was a great game plan. I reckon it was the fight of his life.
And
I don't think he just won two and a half. I reckon it was the fight of his life. And he said he made his mind up the night before, I'm going to fucking die for it.
Mm.
Like, I'm willing to die for it. And he went out there and he put his nuts on the line. And low-key, bro, like, he... I don't think anyone gave him a chance. Because Matias is a bad, bad, bad man.
Yeah.
And I feel like people forget how bad he is now that he's lost.
Yeah.
But he's a bad, like, still proper yeah. bad man, eh? Like, yeah, Matias was bad at big punch, throws a thousand numbers, hits you with everything, really fucks you up.
Just get beat up.
Really the sort of fight that can change who you are forever. Mm. Like, he's the sort of fighter that can really seriously damage you. And for him to go over to his home garden and say, I'm going to put my nuts on the line here. Yeah, big ups to him.
That's probably the type of mindset you have to go into it, eh? Like, you just got to be all in, all or nothing in a fight like that.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how they get caught, probably, eh?
Yep.
Mm. But that's one thing, it's probably like not just by the politics of the whole like sporting industry in Australia. I find that like Australian boxing athletes never get put on or promoted by the media, which blows my mind because considering like how many world titles we've had over the years.
Media stuffs us big time.
Yeah.
I think. They just promote the wrong fighters sometimes.
Yeah.
But like look at Josh would be a superstar.
Superstar, bro.
But yeah, the media just don't promote them.
But it's getting bigger in Australia. Like, boxing's getting bigger. Like, after the Mundine and the Denny Green and the Daniel Gill and the, like, Clem Shaws and those guys, we had, like, a little bit of a fall in boxing for a bit. But, like we can't thank Jeff Horn enough just to bring it back to, like, the forefront of people's mind. And then, obviously, like... not even Zeus. You had like people before Zeus, like you had Gallen, and you had like people holding, like he really held the flag for Australia for a long time, and that's why someone like Jai now is starting to get some notoriety and recognition, which he deserves and some, because dude's a freak. But I think the things are changing in Australia, and I think they're getting behind their fighters, and we're getting more mainstream TV, and we're getting more streaming rights, and I don't know if that's everywhere or here just because of media, but we're definitely getting more media. I think it's good.
Yeah, 100%. That's a good point about Jeff Horn too, because it's probably around the time I became a lot more invested into Australian boxing too, like when they had that massive super fight. That's when it brought a lot of eyes back to the scene.
Stupid. Yeah. That was so wild.
Yeah, it was.
So wild. I do think he won.
And getting the win.
Yeah, wild.
Suncorp, the sun on you. It'd be a tough fight, eh?
Cooking in the sun. Have you had any fights outdoors?
Nah. I don't know if I want to, but if it happens, it happens.
Nah. Anybody?
I'm a boxer, mate. I don't fight outdoors.
Yeah, 40-degree heat.
Yeah, no.
Queensland humidity.
I've had fights in the shed at All-Stars.
Yeah.
My old gym was, like, real old school. Like, the ring was outside. Like, no roof over it or nothing. So if it was raining, you'd be sparring in the rain.
Yeah, right.
Like, when we were sparring on Saturdays, like, you're sparring in the heat, so... That's when I'm talking.
When
like,
I first met him, I spotted this kind of this puddles in the ring. I felt like I was going for a driving lesson. Like I'm dodging the cones and the islands.
Got
and
roof
I'm trying
over
to spar him as well. Like, yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, it's very old school.
Is that what's that like sparring in the rain?
I don't know, a nightmare. Yeah. Like you'd be slipping everywhere, your feet. Just
shoes
probably soaked. Probably more dangerous than beneficial for you.
Yeah. It's probably like preps your mindset a bit more as well, just like dealing with whatever comes.
Oh yeah. It's just like fuck it.
That's Hayden's ice bath.
Yeah. Spider <It's probably laughs>
Yeah.
But for you boys, like who were some of your favourite boxers growing up?
I don't really watch boxing until maybe like 4 years ago I started watching it, get into it a bit more. But all my boxers I watch now, like all the old school ones, like Joe Frazier, Roberto Duran, all them type of inside pressure fighters.
Yeah.
And then like the new schools like Matias and Caballero, that heavyweight, just people that press the fight and it's beneficial for me. And that and Billy, who fought on the Terence Crawford card, he's a real good explosive. Sort of the style I want to try to become.
Yeah, man.
But yeah.
What was the question?
Who were some of your favourite boxers growing up?
Oh, yeah, nah. So Flew Mayweather was my first love.
Yeah.
And then Andre will become my GOAT. Great man. Great boxer. So a lot of the greats made it look very easy, very talented, very genetically gifted. And I'm a big believer that Andre Ward was human like us all, but he's the best decision maker probably ever in boxing. So he's my favorite by landslide. I like Bernard Hopkins and James Toney. And then, and then it was always Floyd.
Yeah.
But shit, Andre Ward.
Yeah.
My Lord and Savior, Andre Ward. Son of God, SOG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My final question is, I want to get used to bring your minds together and build the perfect boxer. So we're going to start with footwork.
All right, you go first.
Footwork. Say Sugar Ray Leonard.
Sugar Ray.
Why?
Good footwork. I don't got a why. I just like
to see. you need to give me a reason.
I'll say to the fighter, you say what?
No. All right, we'll go that. All
right, left hand.
Left hand?
Yeah.
Oh, left hand. Andre Ward, but not because not because he has the best jab or the biggest punch, but because he had like a very good defensive shape on his left side, and he always had a bridge, he always had a stiff arm, he always had a feint, he always had a good jab to the body.
What about Lennox Lewis?
See this reason?
I reckon he has the greatest left hand.
We're
building fighters together.
Tell
you why.
Yeah, tell me why.
Because it was the piston. It was just stiff.
So you're judging it off just being a good jab. See, I'm giving you...
Yeah, no,
he defense of it. He feints off it. He breaks feet with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're breaking it down better.
Yeah, there we go. you're going to give me a reason, brother. You can't come to me to try and build our fighter with reason.
Yeah, nah, sorry. Yeah, I'll find a reason.
What about right hand, Aiden?
Right hand? There's a few. You got to say Wilder just because... He's got nukes in there. Like, even though it's not like the prettiest, we're not building a pretty fighter. No. We got a good left hand.
Yeah, no,
we got a right hand. And it's got to be Wilder. It's someone who just can chop.
Yeah.
Like, even he won bronze, didn't he? I don't know how.
Yeah, no, he won bronze. Very early.
Is he a good boxer, though?
No, but he's very early on in his career and he still won bronze.
Heavy power.
Very heavy
right
power.
Right hand's got to be Wilder.
Interesting.
What with defense?
Defense. Floyd.
Floyd.
Do you want me to break that down or you got that?
Nah, I've got that one.
What about mindset, Hayden?
Mindset?
Yeah.
You'd probably have to go Ward, wouldn't you?
With who?
Ward. Andre Ward.
Yeah, no, it comes to my mindset.
You probably would have to.
You only get one pick. You only get one pick.
You'd have to.
I'm making rules so that make it difficult. No, I like it. Yeah.
He's got a great boxing brain.
He's got a great mindset.
Yeah, great boxing brain.
I would say, for the sake of only pick a fighter once, I'd say Bernard Hopkins. He was always very hated, always had a chip on his shoulder, always a bad man, didn't drink for his whole career, didn't eat sugar, started boxing late. No one's as dedicated as him. He fought for a world title at like, what was it, like 49, 52, something like that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so we're gonna go him, brother.
That's the definition of locked in.
I'll say it in the next one.
It depends how your what mindset you're looking for. You could have
what
like
mindset
a, you could have like a Duran mindset, someone who's just trying to kill you, or you could have like a Hagler who's just after.
You had that opportunity.
Nah, I didn't think that. I didn't think that deep into it.
Well, who are you picking out? Like,
probably Hagler.
Hagler, why?
Running the snow.
Oh yeah, because just. Oh yeah, okay.
great stuff.
So he's picking him because he runs in the
Hagler. Start. I'm picking Hagler. Yeah. Skip you.
Basically runs in the most, but
I'm picking him.
Yeah. What about personality then?
Personality.
You can't pick Floyd.
I'm not going to pick what, bro. who would I pick for personality? Prince and Nassim.
That's a good one.
Personality, yeah, outside the ring or inside the ring? No, you know what? I like him outside the ring too.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry. Great I pick. Like it. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Hey, yeah, great pick. Great pick.
And last pick, who's going to be the who's going to be the trainer for this fighter?
Do you know a trainer? Just chuck something there, see if it sticks. Don't say Freddie Roach, because I know that's the only one coming to your mind.
Flutch. Eddie Flutch, is it?
I don't. Should we just look it up to make sure?
I think it is.
Eddie Flutch.
Can we Google it?
Yeah, can we look that up? Eddie Flutch. You might be right. Oh, how old are we talking? Who's he trying?
Old. Like, you trying, don't know like, the trying. Frasers and all, okay. Like the old Detroit.
If not, we'll cut this bit out, eh?
Eddie Flutch, did he train the Frasers?
Yeah, all the Detroit. He's got the. Started the sort of shoulder roll.
Oh, yeah, American boxing coach.
Shit.
That's our trainer, bro.
Born in 19.
That's our fucking trainer. That's our shit.
He trained Joe Frazier, Kawhi Ken Norton, Larry Holmes. Yeah.
Big up, you. Yeah. That's a great pick. I don't even know what he does well, but I'm going to let you have it.
He's one of the men to defeat Muhammad Ali.
Yeah. He had that. He was the coach that defeated Muhammad Ali twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. There's some knowledge for you, mate.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
All right, boys. Well, just want to say that's the end of my questions for this podcast. Appreciate you coming on.
No, thank you.
Do you have anything you want to promote or talk about, especially before your fight night on December 6th or with yourself, Benny?
What do you got? You go first.
No, I was actually going to say we'll do like a separate clip after. So yeah. I was just going to talk about my next fight in the future, and I can post in a week. Sweet. When my fight gets announced.
Done.
So like we'll do that in a minute.
Sweet as.
What do you got, Bella?
I got nothing.
Are you?
Right, December 6th. Well, watch.
Nah. So Hayden.
What are you?
Hayden showed his toes once.
Nice.
On a live stream.
Yeah.
And he wants to know, can the people sign up to his Only Feet? Is that what it's called? Only Feet? Is that what it's called? What's it called? Don't make it, you don't know.
Right. Wait, don't check my surgery. Oh, wait.
What's it called? Is it Only Feet? Is that what it's called, boys, over there?
Oh,
he's up.
Huh? No. Be careful. No. Anyway, Hayden's gonna start an Instagram page for his toes. But I'll warn you: if you view it, you might be offended because his toe looks like he's giving you the middle finger.
But
I've been picking on him for that. How long has it been? A few months ago. Yeah. And now my daughter's been born, and she's given me the middle finger with her toes. So I've like we've got some bad juju.
Yeah, that's karma. Yeah, I know. She's got my hairline too.
But she doesn't. She has more hair than you. But Hayden's really quick, right? So I'm hoping my daughter's gonna be quick because of her long middle toe.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Big feet makes you run quicker.
What size are your feet?
12.
Big. I don't know. Sounds pretty stock standard. What are you?
Size 12.
What size are you?
I'm not quick. I move like a truck.
I don't want to talk about it.
I'm like a camera.
I don't want to talk about it.
No.
Well,
thanks, lads. Appreciate you coming on.
No, thank you.